Okay, well, let's see here. I better shut up about that and listen to Lee. Hi, Lee, are you there?
Thank you, doctor. I have developed gout, first time in my life.
Oh, dear.
And it started in one foot, and then it went away and came back on the other foot.
Let's get rid of it, okay?
Yeah, and I love seafood, unfortunately, and I have occasional red wine. So,
Let's get rid of it without getting rid of those, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. An American Medical Journal published one of the silliest articles I've seen, but it really helps us to hit with gout. What they were doing is warning people that you shouldn't take this much vitamin C because guess what? It made the uric acid go from the bloodstream out through the urine, and that was dangerous because it might give us kidney stones of the uric acid sort. Well, I read that, and I could not avoid bursting out laughing because at the very same time that article was published, there was a patent medicine on the market that worked exactly the same way, and the doctors were prescribing the stuff, and nobody ever got uric acid kidney stones. I forgot what the name of the patent medicine was, but it still did the same thing as vitamin C. It takes the uric acid out of the bloodstream and puts it into the urine, so it's no longer in the bloodstream where it can give you gout, and nobody ever got kidney stones from it. How much vitamin C does it take for that effect, and how well does it work? Well, let's see. A normal uric acid is below 8. You know these numbers if you've had blood tests done. It's below 8. And 8 doesn't sound like much, but even moving to 7 or 6 or 5 gets you out of the gout zone. And guess what? The vitamin C, according to this research, dropped everybody's serum uric acid by 2 points. Wow! If you're at 8, you go down to 6. Hey, maybe that'll stop the gout. But there's more! And that is, I'm sorry to carry on, sir. It is so sad that this research has been around and around and around and it's not used, but it's not patentable. And it's a whole problem, as we know. Can't make a megabucks on it. Okay, here comes the next research. And this comes from the Journal of the American Medical Association from the 19th century. I'm not kidding you. And in that, yeah, it's been around for that long, sir. What this doctor did was he noticed that at the time there were a lot of health spas. You know, you know the famous 1880s, 1890s, everybody goes off to the health spa. And gout sufferers tended to collect at certain health spas. And he wanted to know why they went to those and got their relief, and they didn't get the relief elsewhere. So he got smart, and he went and got the water from the spas, the springs that people bathed in, and he analyzed it. And what do you know? The gout sufferers were right. Duh. If it relieves, they ought to know, huh? Namely, that the water from the spas that helped to relieve people of their gout had lithium in it. And the water from the spas that did not help people to relieve their gout didn't have lithium in it. Oh, so then he went further. He got two big glass things called beakers. If you've ever been in chemistry class, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay. He got two big beakers and put water in them. Well, that's cool. And then in one, he put in lithium and to the same degree that was in the water in the spas. And then the other one, he just left it alone. Then he gets himself some uric acid crystals, and he stirs them into the plain water, and they dissolve, and he stirs and stirs. But when he kept adding more, it did what's called supersaturating the water. It started to crystallize again. Okay. All right, so then he's got the water with the lithium in it, and he puts the uric acid in there, and he puts the uric acid in there, and he puts the uric acid in there, and he stirs and stirs, and it doesn't crystallize. And he found he had to put very significantly more uric acid into the water with the lithium before it would crystallize than he did the plain water. So pretty obviously, lithium keeps uric acid from crystallizing, and it's not the uric acid that hurts. It's the long crystals that, if you ever see them under a microscope, they're like pointy needles. So what I've done, sir, is put those two pieces of research together, and over 90% of the people I've worked with gout, since I put those two pieces of research together, have no more gout. As long as they take 3 grams of vitamin C twice a day, the occasional person says, ooh, that gives me a little loose bowels and gas. I say, okay, back off to 2 grams twice a day. But if you can take 3 grams twice a day, please do. And the other thing is you go get yourself some low-dose lithium, which all the natural food stores have. It is not the 300 milligram of lithium carbonate at all, which is taken 3 times a day by bipolar people. That has to be on prescription. It might do you harm. It's a 20-milligram capsule. There's also 10 milligrams and 5 milligrams for sale over-the-counter in the health food stores. And between one 20-milligram capsule of lithium and 3 grams of vitamin C twice a day, over 90% of the people I've worked with gout just don't have gout anymore. There you go.
Wonderful. Thank you. I have another question if you have time.
It's got to be a quick one because we got Peggy waiting here.
Okay. I've had a serious problem since I was 14 years old, and I'm now in my 80s, with a sinus infection in my right parietal sinus. Is there, what in the world can I do to get this thing taken care of?
It's inside the sinus, the infection?
You know what the infection? What happens is I get very thick mucus coming down my throat, coating my throat, and then working into my bronchi.
Okay, Matt, sir. You may or may not have heard me carry on earlier in the program about how potassium iodide loves to accumulate in every membrane lining the respiratory tract, which includes the sinuses. And so a lot of times you can take advantage of that because potassium iodide loves to kill viruses. It just kills them all. And it kills most bacteria, too. And it's kind of a 50-50 on fungi. But anyway, I would be working with a physician skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine, because if you take a high dose of potassium iodide, which it does require to kill these things off, and it tastes icky in the mouth, it tastes like iodine, of course.
Right.
And if you do that for more than a couple of weeks, you might suppress your thyroid gland. Actually, the studies say more than 7 or 8 weeks, but I get a little conservative and say don't do it more than 2 weeks. What's a high dose? 6 drops every 3-4 hours, and if you get up in the middle of the night, another 6 drops. Now, sometimes that just knocks it right there, but have a physician skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine handy to make sure you don't suppress your thyroid if you take it for a long time.
Thank you very much, sir.